The book of Ecclesiastes gives us a fresh perspective on not becoming cynical with life, as we hear in this comment from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
Is there anything wherever it may be said, see, this is new? Well, if you look at it from a child's point of view, every Christmas it's new. You know, if you take the simplistic look at life of a child, that every day is fresh and, salt air and the waves are up and I'm at the beach running up and down with my boogie board and I've got my pail and my bucket and my shovel and I'm building a little sandcastle. It's all new to a child. But when you get a little jaded and you get a little older, there's nothing new under the sun. But in the sun, S-O-N, everything's new for your new creature in Christ.
And I'll stand up and shout.
Listening to Chapter and Verse, where our teacher is Mike McIntosh, and Ecclesiastes is our current area of survey. Mike is presenting a series looking at the fact that a person not walking with, or someone who has walked away from God, can become quite cynical in their outlook of life. This is the case with King Solomon. His father David was said to be a man after God's own heart, yet he was a man who sinned and failed God. But as we read in the New Testament, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from those sins. The key is confession, which restores fellowship. Without fellowship, we will become jaded. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes and listen to Pastor Mike McIntosh as he concludes his message on the preacher.
You're living in the 1900s, our clothes have changed. You're living in 21st century, our clothes have changed. So different from 1920s, but we're still the same. Life is really the same, is what he's saying. And all we have done is change our surroundings because we can't get away from ourselves, that we have this horrible sin that lives inside of us and destroys us. So he's struggling here still. Is there anything wherever it may be said, see, this is new? Well, if you look at it from a child's point of view, every Christmas it's new. You know, if you take the simplistic look at life of a child, that every day is fresh and, salt air and the waves are up and I'm at the beach running up and down with my boogie board and I've got my pail and my bucket and my shovel and I'm building a little sandcastle. It's all new to a child. But when you get a little jaded and you get a little older, there's nothing new under the sun. But in the sun, S-O-N, everything's new for your new creature in Christ. So here's that fatalism. There is no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are to come with those that shall come after. So the famous people, the great people, yeah, great. So what? Oscar winner, who cares? There'll be another one next year, another one the next year, and this idol will be outdated and be an old person reported on the news at 86 years old, the famous, and you'll say, I don't have a clue who that was. And you're into who's ever the star this year, you know, or whoever's the top 10 songs and music. It's all relative. So he said, what difference does it make? So you search for some deep philosophical truth here, but I think it's really blurry. I don't think there's much you want to hang your hat on with what he just said. In one sense, there's nothing new, only variations to make it look new. And I think the devil is behind that. Instead of letting you be just simply you, he changes things all the time when you stop and think of it. But on the other hand, you and I, of all people ever in the history of mankind, could say that technology certainly has shown Solomon didn't know it all. Because just the iPhone itself is probably as much or more power than the first space capsule that took our guys to the moon. And several of you have one in your pocket right now. You should be ashamed of yourselves and give it to me. But think of this for a minute. New fads, new clothes, new cars, always annually changing. So we think we're progressing forward when time is right where we are and we're just changing our wardrobe. We're still the same. And the devil knows that. Keep this change going all the time, annually, almost as a distraction to the blurred truth we can hear in Solomon's frustration. And now we can begin to see that your elbows are going to get ready to start nudging. I've got a feeling. I, the preacher, verse 12, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. Right? Wouldn't you say that's him? That's Solomon. I don't see how it could be some other guy. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I set my heart to seek and search out by wisdom concerning all that is done under heaven. Ah, under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works. Look at that. All the works that are done under the sun, and indeed all is vanity and grasping for the wind. So this guy had so much, he could actually say, I've seen everything that possibly could be. It's crossed in front of my eyes and my throne. Well, verse 15, he says, what is crooked cannot be made straight, and what is lacking cannot be numbered. I communed with my heart, see, self. It's all about self. Saying, look, he said to his self, look, self, I have attained greatness, and I have gained more wisdom than all who were before me in Jerusalem. My heart has understood great wisdom and knowledge, and I set my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. Underline that. Because you, our friends of ours, are seeking madness and folly with their choices of sex partners, what they're smoking, snorting, injecting, inhaling, or what they're viewing. They're following madness and folly, and they call it lifestyle. So Solomon is very honest with us here. He says that I set my heart, I really purposed in my mind, I got my focus going, that I have all this wisdom and knowledge more than anybody before me, that I have set my heart to know wisdom, stop right there, and to know madness and folly. I can remember the first time I drank a beer, can't you? I can remember the first time I smoked a joint. I can remember the first time I ever took a tab. I remember all those times. I remember I said, I'm an athlete, I would never drink. And I can remember the first time I drank. Oh, I would never smoke pot. Man, that's for weirdos. But I can remember. I'd never take LSD or something because, man, you're really nuts if you do that. And I remember. Can you think of some things in your lives where you said, I'll never do that, or you'd never hear me saying that, or I'd never go to a place like that, and then you do it, and it becomes part of your life, and now you don't realize you're in madness and folly because you see so many other cool people there. But then after the coolness wears off, you say, how did I get around these people? They're weird. And you find no way out, and by a bus hitting you, or a truck rolling over you, or a heart attack, or you fall off your bicycle, or the cliffs cave in on you at Black's Beach, you never get a chance to ever get out of there. You never do. So let's stop and think of this. I, the preacher, was king over Israel. So some feel Solomon is at the end of his life and that he's just now coming back to the Lord. Right about this spot in Ecclesiastes, he's coming back to the Lord, and you're going to swing his mindset with him here. And he's saying, this is who I am. I was their king. And his words are tainted, and they're filled with frustration and disappointment. He got let down. You'll always be frustrated, and you'll always feel let down if you depend on this world, or the men of this world, or the systems of this world. But God will never let you down. He will bring you right into the heart of what living is all about. And there is this Jewish speculation, as I mentioned among scholars, that Solomon lost all the respect of the Jews of his days, and he was dethroned simply because of his idolatry. And his point of view is from walking and living now among the everyday common person. He's speaking from the street view as opposed to the throne view and the palace view, where he had so much authority and he could speak with the authority, and the people that were under his authority would listen to him because they had never been to where he was. And we like to be under the authority of people that inspire us, and we'll accept, that's my leader, that's my professor, that's my boss, because we respect their experience and their wisdom. And when somebody without experience or wisdom tries to get up above us and try to tell us how it's going to be, you know right away that's not how it's going to be. And that's what the final Proverbs were as we looked at chapter 30 and 31. There are some things that are a little unsettling in the world. One is when a maiden marries her mistress's husband. Another is when the servant ends up being the boss. And so Solomon, he's learning the other side of life from God. And those that support this takes the word right here, the fourth word in verse 12, the word was. I, the preacher, was king over Israel and Jerusalem. And that's how the Jewish people say, well, this is him not on the throne anymore. And I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. The sore travail has God given to the sons of man to be exercised therewith. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun. Behold, it's vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked cannot be made straight, and that which is wanting cannot be numbered. Okay, we've got to realize that unless it's the Lord speaking to us, we don't necessarily have to buy it. And I have found over the years that if I don't understand it from the Word, I'll just wait till the Lord grows me up and I will understand it. I'm not going to get hung up on it, nor am I going to let somebody force me to believe their point of view about it until the Lord just shows me. There's nobody in charge of you. You're submitted to God. And you don't need to be a denomination or an ism or an ite or a doctrine. You are God's son. You are God's daughter. You have a free moral will to think. And the best I can do as a pastor for you is to help show you from what I know. But I know so little. So you need to learn from him, from what he will show you. And let this just reinforce you or to spur you on to set your heart to seek the things of God and not of man. Now let's let our fingers do the walking. And let's go to the 40th chapter of Isaiah. And let's shoot down some of his sayings right now, okay? So you can see that this guy is missing the power of the Holy Ghost, which will tell you truth. And you know if there's somebody weird from you. Okay, Isaiah, the 40th chapter, just a couple of books to your right. Now look at this, the 40th chapter, 4th verse. Let's back up, verse 3. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill will be brought low. Read the next sentence with me. The crooked places shall be made straight. And what did Solomon say in verse 15? That which is crooked cannot be made straight. But the Holy Ghost and the prophet Isaiah and the Lord say, he will straighten out all the crooked things in the world. He will straighten you out. He'll straighten me out. And the things that are crooked and out of whack for us, he'll be able to get them in line for us. So don't give up. God's going to straighten it out and he's going to help you. He's going to make it good for you. Okay, now just go over one more page to the 42nd chapter of Isaiah. 42nd chapter. And look at verse 14. I have held my peace a long time. I have been still and restrained myself. Now I'll cry like a woman in labor. I'll pant and gasp at once, and I will lay waste the mountain and hills and dry up all their vegetation. I will make the rivers coastlands, and I'll dry up the pools. I will bring the blind by a way they did not know. I will lead them in paths they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked places straight. These things I will do for them and not forsake them. So God's promising the Jews and you and I, he's got something new for us. And he's going to lead us in a way that we've never gone before. And though it seems kind of dark, we're not sure, he'll lighten it up for us. And thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And he will show you through his word. So now he's showing that Solomon, he's not firing on all cylinders there. Now look at chapter 45 and go to the first verse of Isaiah 45. Thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held. Now remember, God, as a sign that proves the Bible is true, before Cyrus was ever born, told the prophet there would be a king that would come and his name will be Cyrus, and told the whole story. And now it says that God holds the hand of Cyrus. To subdue nations before him and loose the armor of kings, to open before him the double doors so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make, read it with me, the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gates of bronze, and I'll cut down the bars of iron. Now jump to the New Testament and let's go to Dr. Luke. Luke chapter 3, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke. And let's see what he has to say here. While Annas and Caiaphas were high priests, John, the son of Zacharias, was in the wilderness, John the Baptist, preaching before Jesus comes, went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight, every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of the Lord. So now the forerunner even quotes what you have just read. And then finally, go to the book of Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as just in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You do it. Work it out. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That's why you're struggling. God's trying to make it so that you'll do his good pleasure and your flesh doesn't want to get out of the way. That's what your struggle is about. It's God's will to work in you, both to do his will and his good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and arguing or grumbling or murmuring, disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And that which is crooked cannot be made straight. Oh yeah, you can be made straight by being born again. Back to Ecclesiastes, verse 16. I communed with my own heart, saying, lo, I am come to a great estate, and I have gotten more wisdom than all the people before me in Jerusalem. Yes, my heart has had great experience of wisdom and knowledge. And this shows the elbow, right? This shows that it's Solomon. Because in 2 Chronicles 1, verse 11 and 12, he says, God has given to him more knowledge and wisdom than any man before or ever after. So I gave my heart to know wisdom and to know madness and folly. I perceive that this is also vexation. For in much wisdom is grief, and he that increases knowledge actually increases his sorrow. I think you could all say amen to that. Because the more you know, the more sorrow. And the more you know about other people that you didn't know, the more sorrow. And the more you understand what's going on in the world, the more sorrow. So that is true. And there's an old newspaper article from the Press Enterprise in 1990, and this was the story. Along a busy street in Pico Rivera, a suburb neighborhood of Los Angeles, California, is a boarded up restaurant with a sign that says on the outside, one of 10 best restaurants. And so the question was raised, how can a restaurant be one of the top 10 in 1990 and then be boarded up in the year 2000? So we don't know the particulars of the case of why it got boarded up, but we do know that no organization has a guarantee to go on forever. Nor does a church, nor does a country, nor does a person. And in Revelation chapter 2, verse 5, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent. Remember where you used to be. That's the message for Solomon. Or if you happen to be like him, you once were there with the knowledge of God, and now you're down here grumbling, complaining, seeing nothing but negative. Repent and do your first works. Keep it simple and go to the cross and just love him. Or else I'll come unto you quickly and I'll remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent. So that was the message from the Lord, that you could be on top in the throne room one day, but the minute you go after idolatry and wine and women and the folly of, I'm going to put my heart to everything the world has to offer and I'm going to test and experience everything I can, you're going to get lost. And God have mercy on any of us, that if we did get lost, that we'd die in that darkness. We must be grateful to the Lord and not wander away from him ever and end up jaded by this world that has so lost itself. God gave Solomon everything and he was displeased. And you say, well, how could a guy like be like that? Because God gave everything to Adam and Eve and they were just the same. They wanted more. The ear has never heard enough and the eye has never seen enough. The human nature is to, I can do it alone without God, I don't need God to help me. I can figure this out. I've got a college education. I can write a check. I can get away with anything. I don't need. And he said, I understood everything in the world. He had the money to get anything he wanted and hire anybody to tell him what he wanted. But his heart left the Lord, and that was his downfall. So this opens up Ecclesiastes to us, and it gets a little happier later. All right, let's stand and let's pray. Father, we do pray for all of our souls, each and every one of us. We would pray in Jesus Christ's name that your Holy Spirit would wrap his arms around us right now, and not one of us would be lost or stray aside. That we would always accept the great blessings that you have given to us. We'd like to ask, Lord, that you would let us always see life not under the sun, but in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, that we don't have to have the answers to everything. And we just want to know you and to be conformed to your image. So help us. If we are prone to being seduced by the spirit of this world or by people of this world, or our ego or our pride or our intellect, that we would leave the simplicity of you and the Holy Scriptures. Don't let it happen to us, Lord, please. We're too weak to help ourselves. So I pray tonight, Lord, if there are those that are with us or even watching on the internet or listening on the radio broadcast tonight, that they would say, oh God, that's me. I'm just like Solomon. I just see life's a drag. It's a bore. Everything's hard work. There's just empty. It vanishes. There's no truth or reality to it. And if that's going on in your life, but you want to have a full life, you want to receive all that you could have from God, but not from this world, then I want you to just say, God, forgive me for living for myself and thinking for myself and acting for myself. And put your joy and your Holy Spirit inside of me and give me a refreshing new birth tonight that I could just let go of what I know and learn everything I can from you. Now, if that's your desire, this is very important for you. I'd like you just to look up at me and raise your hand up if that's your desire. Would you please? Yes, God bless you. God bless you. And you, 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 and you. Yes, over here. Yes, right down here. Yes, in the middle, in the back side. Yes. Is there anybody else? Just, yes, way in the back. See you. Thank you for holding your hand up there. Lord, you've seen all these people. And they're being really open and honest before you. They've tried it all. They've tried to figure it all out. They're exhausted. They're tired. Would you just give them the power of the Holy Ghost right now? And just flood them with the energy from heaven. If they just sense, okay, I'm just surrendering. I'm giving up to this world. And I'm going to let God's kingdom be formed in me. Just bless these people, Lord. Just fill them overflowing with happiness and joy. And for all of us, Lord, that we don't wear ourselves out trying to figure it all out. Lord, we know you're going to work. It's frustrating. We just don't know when you're going to work or how you're going to work. But we give that frustration to you. We're just going to let you work. And in the meantime, we'll enjoy our life that you have given to us. And we'll do the best we can. And we'll commit the rest all to you. Bless this audience, Lord, as they learn another way of thinking by studying the Scriptures to show themselves approved. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You know, we live in just what the Bible said, perilous times. That's what Paul told Timothy. There'll be perilous times. Men's hearts failing them. And literally, it means no way out. And as you look at the world, the leaders have thrown their hands up in the last couple of weeks worldwide. They said, there's no way out. We need to come together and be one. Whoever thought it would be that simple? That I thought there would be this drawn out thing that we'd say, wow, watch this, watch that. And how is this guy going to come out of nowhere and all of a sudden be the ruler of the world? I mean, how would everybody accept a person that nobody knew? And then all of a sudden, boom, there's so much going on right now. It's exciting. So the Lord is coming. I know you all feel there's something going on and we can't put our finger on it. The Lord's shaking and getting you away from the world, and he's going to separate you, and you're going to be gone. And we'll say, what was that? Oh, it's just a bad dream. We're here for eternity with the Lord. Let's worship.
That's Mike McIntosh, and with that point, we close today's study time on CNV. Today's review of Solomon's words should remind us that though our cultures have changed, the challenges to trust God remain the same in our time frame. As you go about your daily activities, recall that we are to remember God's great salvation and all that He has done for us. This mindset will enable you to have victory when you're faced with the temptation to be discouraged about God's promises. We'll continue our survey of Ecclesiastes on our next broadcast. Now, before we end our time together, if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, please write to us a chapter and verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. Again, to give your financial support, drop us a line at chapter and verse, Post Office Box 231150, San Diego, California, 92193. You can also give online securely at MikeMacintosh.com. Now let me invite you to join us again next time here on CNV as we move forward in our survey of the Book of Ecclesiastes. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.